You'll never guess what the title of the message today is. I am the Lord. The title of the message, not I am the Lord. But that's what God said. God said, I am the Lord. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to begin reading. And we're going to find out what God meant when He said, I am the Lord. Will you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go. And with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as an heritage. I am the Lord. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Do you see where the title of the message came from? Do you see the strength with which God speaks here? And do you see how that God repeats Himself? Now, I want you to understand, God's not like we preachers in that sometimes we just repeat ourselves because it's just the way we are, right? God repeats Himself to get His point across. And the main point of this message is, I am the Lord, I will. Okay? Those two phrases repeated throughout the text that we just read. And I want you to understand the force with which God's saying it. He's making these statements with all certainty, with all confidence, as He says, I am the Lord, this will happen because I am the Lord. And this entire part, this entire text is a result of chapter 5. And we're going to back up just a little bit and review chapter 5. In the first part of chapter 5, Moses goes back and appears before Pharaoh to deliver God's message. Now, in the course of this series, we've seen the selection of Moses. We've seen Moses given the instructions of what he's to do. In chapter 5, he goes before Pharaoh for the first time and gives God's demand. Okay? And as he goes, I want you to understand how this appears to be such a mountain that's impossible for Moses and the children of Israel to climb. As they go to Pharaoh, they're way out of their league. But God still has a demand. And Moses delivers that demand, and it goes like this. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. We want to understand from the very beginning, this is not a request. It is not an option for Pharaoh to weigh out and decide how he wants to proceed. This is a demand from God. And Pharaoh's response is absolutely amazing. As Pharaoh looks at Moses and says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" I mean, you just, as you read it, the first part of chapter 5, and I'd encourage you to read it later on today, but it's just filled with such arrogance that it's, for you and I, it's just amazing. "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? I do not know the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." That's what Pharaoh said. See, Pharaoh thought himself a god. As a matter of fact, the people of Egypt considered their Pharaoh to be a god. So what we have here is we have a god, or a man who thinks himself a god, and we have the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, and these two are about to go head-to-head. I wonder who will win. You and I both know that already before we begin, don't we? But these guys, you know, God and Pharaoh are about to go toe-to-toe. The future of God's people hang in the balance. Winner take all. So after the decree is made, after the demand is made before Pharaoh, Pharaoh begins to flex his muscle and issue the decree. With attitude of, "I'm going to show them who's boss," Pharaoh gives the decree not to give the children of Israel straw any longer so that they could make the brick that they have to make. And not only that, but make them gather the straw for themselves and make them, or do not lessen the quota of brick that we expect from them every day. Still in chapter 5. So they made the demand upon the children of Israel, and of course, the children of Israel could not produce brick without straw, and they did their best to gather it and did their best to meet the quota and could not meet it. And so the taskmasters began to beat and brutally treat children of Israel, even worse than it was before. And Israel could not meet their quota, so the officers of Israel go before Pharaoh and say, "Why are you treating us this way? We cannot make brick without straw." Pharaoh says, "I'm treating you this way because you are lazy. You are idle. You have too much time on your hands. That's why you came before me and said, 'Let us go and worship our God in the wilderness.'" Israel, discouraged as Pharaoh sends them back to the brick pits. It says, "Make brick without straw. Do not, and meet the quota which has always been set for you." And Israel goes back and to Moses and said, "Moses, this is your fault. You've made us despised in Pharaoh's eyes." Very discouraged, Moses goes before God. And he displays his disappointment before God as he prays. He gets on his knees, and you understand, here's a man who's been following God. God has called him from out of the wilderness and said, "You're the guy. You're the guy that's going to deliver my children from Egyptian bondage." And God, and Moses has followed God. He's come there to do just that. And now, at the first sign, when Moses makes the demand, Pharaoh tightens the rein, so to speak, flexes his muscles, and it's getting ugly. And Moses goes before God and says, "God, since I came, Pharaoh has done nothing but evil to the children, to your children. God, you sent me here to lead your people out, but God, you have not delivered your people. You've not done anything, God. God, it's worse now than it's ever been before. And we haven't even started this journey." Have you ever set out to follow the Lord and the first thing you receive or the first thing you experience is opposition? Matter of fact, I'll tell you, usually when you set out to follow the Lord, the first thing you're going to experience is opposition, right? Because that's the, I mean, you're threatening Satan. As long as you don't threaten Satan, he don't care what you do. But when you set out to follow the Lord and to do the Lord's work, you can expect a little difficulty. Moses, the children of Israel have every reason to quit and say, it's no use. Hill's too big, mountain's too high. But you see, now that Pharaoh has brought the matter to a crisis, now that things are as bad as they can possibly be, now that Pharaoh's at the height of his pride, and now that Israel is at the depth of their misery, now God says, all right, we're ready to go. I'm about to show you that I am the Lord. And you know what? We pick up in chapter 6, verse 1, God says, and here's what's going to happen. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. And I want you to understand, God could have taken Israel out at any time. At any time. God could have wiped Egypt off the face of the map, said, you abused my children, and wiped them all out. Brought Israel out by one massive stroke, you know. But he didn't do that. He could have destroyed Pharaoh at the sound of his word. But I want to point out something to you. Pharaoh said something very interesting. You ready? Because it's so simple, you'll miss it if you don't just pay real close attention. Pharaoh said, I will not let Israel go. Have you ever said, I will not? Now, you and I know how silly that can be. If you're a child of God, go ahead and say you're not going to do something. How many times have you thought, have you looked at teenagers and said, well, when my kids become a teenager, I won't allow that. Yeah, right. Keep on. Well, if that were me, I would. Yeah, right. Oh, Pharaoh says, I will not. And in response to Pharaoh's statement, God speaks and says, oh, yes, you will. Not only will you let them go, but when you let them go, you will send them out with a strong hand. As a matter of fact, not only will you let them go, you will drive them out of your presence. See, God knew something that Pharaoh didn't know. We look at the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 17. It says, For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I've raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Do you realize the purpose of Pharaoh's life was to show the glory of God? And as stubborn as Pharaoh could be, all that would serve is to declare to the world how great the God of Israel was going to be. You see, Pharaoh in all his arrogant glory was nothing more than an opportunity for the glory of God to be declared. So the next time you begin to follow the Lord and the Lord leads you in a ministry and you face opposition, you just back up and you remember, your God is the Lord. The God that called you is in control. Satan himself cannot stop God. Do you realize that the challenges, the opposition that you face as a child of God, it's nothing more than an opportunity for God to display His power in your life. You realize that? Oh, I'm reminded of... Okay, yeah. I'm reminded of our president. And the latest arrogance of our president. And listen, I want to respect the office of President of the United States. I love our country. And I want to respect the office. But I will not respect one who completely throws aside God. Amen. And this past week, we'll call it the bathroom bully. You know, it amazed me that the edict was passed down to our schools. You will allow children to use whatever restroom and whatever locker room in which they identify themselves with. Get real. Get. And you see, I see us coming to the same point of having an administration that is that bully, I will and you will mentality. I see an administration that tries to inflict their will upon the people instead of government by the people for the people. You know, it seems to be government by the government and to keep the people in line. And you know, that don't work. That's not who we are. And to add insult to injury, how that, you know, part of this edict that was passed down, he said, if you do not comply, we'll remove funding. You see the bully there? Oh, listen, friends, the more I thought about it, the more I saw Pharaoh. This is what you will do, and I will not. Well, I want to tell you something. The government will not tell us what to think. The government will not set the standard of our morality. The government will not bully the citizens of this nation into submission. And most important, the government cannot have our children. There is a time when the citizens of the United States take a stand. And this is it. I appreciate our governor for what he said. Ignore it. And I agree. Ignore it. Until an attempt is made to inflict it against our will. The will of the people. And then we're going to have to stand. You see, that we've become a nation that have forgotten how to stand. And so as we back up and we say today, you know, our God is great, our God is mighty, we have to understand we don't have the ability to stand, but our God has the ability to take a stand. And we always need to be certain that the stand that we take is on His side. Oh, I look and I think, wow. Boy, this mountain may get real tall before we're done, but I pray that God's people will take the stand along the way. Because I want to tell you, see, we have a God that cannot be contained. Not only are there mountains that are too big for us to climb, but the good news is our God cannot be contained. Nobody can stop Him. You see, our God is personal. As I read here, God made this statement. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. You ever try to figure that one out? What's he saying here? Well, I'm sure I'll never completely figure that out. However, I know that one thing he's saying, you're about to see me as people have never seen me before. The other thing that God is saying is by my name, Lord. That word Lord is literally the Hebrew proper name of God. Okay? It is bringing people on a first name basis with Yahweh. Well, I want you to think about this. God is revealing Himself in a very personal, very intimate nature. And this is a whole new relationship. Not only are they serving a God, not only are they serving the God, they are serving Yahweh, Jehovah God. They know His name. You see, you say, Brother Doug, what difference does that make? You see, knowing the name brings a whole different level to the relationship. For example, there are many people in Russellville that know me as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And that's fine. But as they know me as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church, they don't know me. You know? But when they know my name, Doug, some call me Pastor Doug, Pastor Hambrick, Brother Doug, and it really doesn't matter. But when you throw my name in there, you begin to know me. You begin to know my desires. You begin to know what direction I have in what I'm doing. You begin to know what I stand for, what I expect, what I want. You see, you begin to know me personally. That's the first step. That's the first step in climbing these mountains that can't be climbed. Is realize who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a God that is very personal. How do you treat your God? How do you respect the name of God? Sometimes I do get my feelings hurt in that the way the name of God is thrown out today. It's put in front of and behind curse words. What are you thinking? This is the God of the universe that has the power to build up and to tear down. Why would you blaspheme His name? Don't do it. People of Israel, the scribes of the Old Testament, they were so respectful of the name Yahweh. That when they would be copying scriptures and they would come to this name, that they would go take a bath, cleanse themselves, come get a new pen and write that name Yahweh, because they knew the respect the name demanded. We need a nation. We need churches who once again know God on a personal level and offer Him the respect due His name. Okay? I think that's the first step in climbing these mountains. And God working through us in a manner that can't be stopped. God is responding when Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" But God said, "My name is Yahweh. My name is Yahweh. And you're about to see what I'm going to do." You see, our God is dependable. He said, "I've established my covenant with Israel." That word establish, it means to fix, to set it in place. It will not be reversed. It will not be changed. What God says, He will certainly do. God will keep His word. Do you realize? This great God that cannot be stopped is coming again. Jesus is coming. Folks don't believe that anymore. I mean, we don't live it anymore. I truly believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe that our days are numbered. And I believe that we're living in the last days. And one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound, the voice of the archangel's going to shout, and beloved, the dead in Christ will come out of those graves, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Jesus in the air. That day is coming. How do I know? Because Jesus said He was coming. He's coming. And our God is dependable. Not only is He going to do what He says, not only are we on a timetable, God cares. He cares. You realize
Here he said, I've heard, I've established my covenant with him. I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel. You know what he said? He's saying, I know what they're going through. I've been there with every lash of every taskmaster. I know what they're going through. And I care. And then he said, then I've remembered my covenant. He didn't say I forgot about it for a period of time. He says, not only have I established my covenant, not only do I know what's going on, it's time I'm about to do something about it. Listen, my friends, those times when we read the news headlines and the attacks on Christianity and the attacks on morality, and we think, what's the use? I want to remind you, our God is the same God that created the universe. He's the same God. He's the same God that parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to walk across on dry ground. He's the same God that rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you to back up and say, well, it's hopeless. Our nation today, it's gone too far. No, if God can part the Red Sea, God can send revival to the United States of America. He's that awesome. You see, our God is powerful. There's nothing our God can't do. And I love the way He presented this. He said, I will bring you out. I will rescue you from bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will give you the land as a heritage. And you know what's really cool about this? Literal translation. He says, I bring you. I rescue you. It's perfect tense, meaning it's a completed action. What God is saying, it's a done deal. I am bringing you out. I am rescuing you. I am redeeming you. And as he tells them that it's in a manner of he's already done it. It's already done. You see, I want us to back up today. I want us to realize who we're dealing with. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, we're told, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. And your great power, or by your great power, an outstretched arm. And read the last line. Let's read this together. There is nothing too hard for you. Do you realize that's the God we serve? As we look at the direction of our nation and we become discouraged, we've got to back up here and say, but realize God is God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. As we consider the spiritual and moral condition of our nation and we say, what's the use? God is still God and there's nothing too hard for Him. Can He send revival? Absolutely. And my challenge to you today is that we start thinking and acting and treating God like He is God. Amen. And quit talking, you know, well, I can. It's just, we just can't do that. We just, have you ever, well, I've got to. The only thing you've got to do is what God calls you to do. Okay? You see, I hear people make excuses all the time that as though they have no choice, but they had to forsake God somewhere along the way and they had to forsake God's call somewhere along the way. Well, it just got too tough. I love those people who dropped out of church and I love them. But they amaze me in that they say, well, I went to church for a while, but those churches are filled with hypocrites. Wow. We didn't know that. And so I swore I'd never go back to church. Why, you big sissy. Do you realize? Yes, churches have their problem. But we serve the God whom there is nothing too hard for Him. He can fix the churches.
He can fix me. How many of you need to be fixed? Would you raise your hand? Do you realize you serve the God who can?
You know, we're going to present this building tonight or share, and we're not voting on anything tonight, anything like that. We're just putting it in your hands. But, you know, that's no big deal. You know what the big deal is? The big deal about that is doing it God's way. See it? That's it. Let me ask you. Do you live like there's nothing too big for God? I mean, do you step out on faith? I was reading last week, Brother Michael sent me an email, the blacks in the Balkans. They're talking about people who had been beat up for the faith and sacrificing for the faith. And I'm thinking, wow. And they're still at it. They're still going to it, and people are still being saved. Do you realize we have missionaries all over the land? Our missionary in Columbia, Missouri, Brother Ben Hightower. I hope he's in your prayers. I want to tell you, you know, he started there and it was just he and his family and his brother. Yeah. But he's serving a great God who's adding to the church. And they've been running about 19-20 now. Isn't that cool? Because of the great God. I mean, do you act like God is God? You see, oftentimes we want to think this. We want to have this clear path of safety where I don't have to be threatened. I don't have to be uncomfortable. God, you just, you know, you show me the clear and concise way and I will do it just as long as I don't have to get out of my comfort zone. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't you realize God's God? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me ask you, if God's calling you to minister, I hear people a lot say, well, I've toyed with it, you know. I know God's calling me to the ministry. He's calling me to do something. But one of these days I will, but I've got to get all this taken care of. And why, and excuse after excuse after excuse. Don't you think God knows what He's doing when He called you? Okay? Just say yes. Save yourself a lot of trouble. We often look at Peter. You remember the story where Jesus appeared and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come, walk on the water. You remember that story? You remember how Peter stepped out of the boat? How many of you would step out of the boat? We talk about, well, old Peter, you know, he sunk because his faith wavered. He got out of the boat. That's why we, you know, as children of God, we need to get out of the boat. Be willing to step out there. And as we face challenges, whether it's challenges at school, whether it's challenges of the government, whether it's challenges at work, and, you know, we need to go with the confidence of, y'all don't know who you're messing with. You know, you remember the bullies in school. You don't know who you're messing with. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The world doesn't know who they're messing with. Our God can do anything. That's the confidence that we have to live in. That's what God is trying to get across to Moses and all the children of Israel. He's saying, I will redeem you. I will rescue you. I will save you. This is the same God that saved you. Are you living with that confidence? Are you living with that willingness of wherever, Lord, you lead, I'll follow? You know, you often hear people say, boy, I bet it's tough to surrender as a missionary and go on the foreign mission field. It's not once you realize who God is. You know, people talk about we serve a big God. I'm going to tell you, we serve the biggest. There's nothing He can't do. Are you living like that? That's the challenge of today's message. Are you living like God is God? Or are you putting off and making excuses? And listen, we don't have to live that way. God's God. Are you a child of God? It starts with a personal relationship. Do you realize that God revealed Himself to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. We're told in the New Testament, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God's Word to you and me. Okay? Literally, it's God's message. And what was that message? The message was, you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you're in need of salvation. But the only way that could happen is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, who died for the sins of the world. And now the Bible tells us that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation for you. Maybe you're here today and you're not living in confidence. You're not living in power. You're afraid to step out and do those things that God would lead you to do and call you to do. And you know God's leading in a new direction. Hey, get up and get with it. Treat God like He's God. You don't have to be afraid. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now listen, I will tell you this. You need to know God's leading you in a direction. You don't need to go off on some tangent on your own that you make up. But boy, once you got that direction from God, you should be like a bulldog willing to never let go. Why? Not in our confidence, but in the confidence of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the day. And we thank You for the reminder that we don't have to be afraid. Lord, You are a great and mighty God. And sometimes we live way below who You are. Father, help us to have that confidence in You. Help us to just to open our eyes and see, because it's all around us. Your hand, Your power, Your glory, Your history. Lord, You have displayed Your power. Help us to live in Your power. I pray for those that are lost here today who do not know You as their Savior. I pray that today they'll begin their personal relationship with You. And I pray for all of us, Lord, who are living below who You are, that we step up, realizing that we serve a mighty God, and that we go forward in confidence, not in ourselves, but in You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.